And turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John, all the way near the back. I'm going to start with verse 5 and read the rest of the chapter. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can turn to the back of your order of worship. Just to remind you how we opened last week, we saw John declaring to his readers that this message that he has been speaking to them has been God's plan of salvation all along, all the way from the beginning. And this Jesus, this Savior that he sent, John got to see and touch and hear from him the word of life. His message is unchanging. It never changes. It is the means of eternal life. And he seeks to give this assurance to a congregation who is being wrecked, so to speak, from false teachers, those who are saying things that are simply not true about Christ. And people are leaving their midst, and the people are left wondering, what can be believed? And so John speaks comfort to his people. So let me pray before we read God's word. Our gracious God, we thank you that even though this was written to a church so long ago, we are still your people, and we still take up this word, and we still glean from its pages what may we know to be truth. And we thank you that you present to us your Son, Jesus, in all his glory and all his might, that he came in the flesh for our sake. This gospel is ours. And this assurance that is laid down is ours. So give us that blessed assurance tonight, Lord. Comfort our hearts by it. Help us to hate darkness and to come to the light, to your presence, perfect and holy God. And we thank you that we're able to do this by your Son, Jesus. We ask in his name, amen. Beginning with verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. This is God's word for his people. Amen. We don't have long enough for this passage, so I'm gonna draw out three things, but I commend to you this word that you go home and you read it and you think on the powerful imagery that he lays before us, the things that he says to us here. It needs your time and consideration. So we're going to look at three things tonight. First, understanding who God is. Understanding who God is. Two, confronting the error of darkness. And three, we must be honest as God is honest. One, understanding who God is. We learned last week that God and his message is never changing, even as the church is swirling with false teaching and new ideas. John wants to impress upon his hearers that the message of the gospel has not changed. Even as many are leaving the church, there are things that the Christian can be absolutely assured of. Before he unpacks the relationship of man to God and the nature of our sin, he wants us to first understand who God is. Verse 5. This message we have heard from him, that's from Christ, and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Before John gets into the nitty-gritty reality of sin and how we relate to God, he first turns our eyes to see God as he is. He is light. And light can mean several things in the Word of God. In fact, even in the book of John, it means several things. can mean glory or revelation, but here it means the purity and holiness of God in His perfection. God is morally perfect and righteous. He stands alone in this. He is so utterly different. It is so stark. It's like light and darkness. It doesn't have to be explained to us. And by saying God is light, then He also means to tell us that darkness is sin and unrighteousness and moral failure in which God has no part in or fellowship with. God is opposed to darkness and cannot mix with it. And herein lies the obvious problem, doesn't it, that we're going to unpack here in a little while. We are sinners. How can we draw near to God if no darkness can abide with Him? We'll get there. But the fact is, darkness cannot abide in the light. Like a flashlight, when you turn it on and you shine it into the dark, wherever the beam rests, the darkness ceases to exist. Sin cannot abide in the presence of God. He has no part with it. God is light and never ceases to be light. He doesn't have His dark moments. That's our problem. He is always the bright, shining beacon of light in perfection. And He stands out as light, as the thing to be desired and to be known. And He doesn't conceal Himself from us in creation or the Bible. He is sure and trustworthy as the source and guide to life. He shows us what true holiness is. That's why Jesus is called the light of the world. In Him is no obscurity. He is the light of life. Jesus says, I know where I come from. And He says, I know where I am going. And for a church that needs assurance, we can know this as well, where we came from and where we are going, but not apart from understanding that God is light and in Him is no darkness. So the great question remains, how can we who are sinful draw near to the God of light who is perfect and holy and has no part with darkness? To understand this, let us first see three errors that John points out in these verses. Our second point, confronting the error of darkness. John makes three statements. I don't know if you caught it. He starts each statement with, if we say, as if to anticipate an argument. And in each statement, he makes it clear that to believe such a thing is in fact deceit. These are three errors which really provide a false assurance. He's going to hold this up for us to look at. Hold it up to the light, really, which is God's Word. Hold it up to the light, and so that you might see what is false as it is compared to what is true. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. First, we come to verse 6. It reminds me of... I used to be a YMCA member, and I had the card, and I had it, and I could put it in my back pocket, right? If anybody asked, are you a member of the Y? I'd be like, yeah, here's the card. I'm a YMCA member. Ruth made me cancel it because I did not go one single time the entire time I was a member. That means I had no sweaty shirts, no muscles. I could have said I was a member, yet there was no real proof of it in action. We come to verse 6, he says, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Simply stated, this is the one who believes you can be in fellowship with God, yet live however you want. This is the one who says they are a Christian, yet lives as they like, no different than the world. They can say with their lips, I love God, I love His Word, I love His church, I love Jesus, I love being in fellowship with Him, but then they spend their lives in total and complete comfort in their sin. They profess a love for Him, yet are completely happy spending all of their time in the darkness. That's worse than a YMCA card. They think sin's not a big deal. All along, forgetting God is light and He has no fellowship in sin and darkness. Those who hold to this are walking in darkness. They have no more sense of their sin's danger than the pagan. Those who are in this error have their doctrine down. They know what God says. They know what the Bible says. They know what it looks like to worship in the church. And they can speak all the right words and enjoy the idea of fellowship with Him. See Him as light, something different than the world. But they walk day in and day out in darkness. The truth is they actually prefer it. It shows there's a disconnect between the head and the heart. The heart is disconnected from who God is and what He loves and what He hates. We can't say we have fellowship with God yet love sin. It's a lie. We can't embrace light and dark with the same degree of love. God is not in the darkness. He draws us out of it. It is a lie to say you have fellowship with God at the same time embrace and love your sin. The second great lie that John points out for us is in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What John's describing here is the error of the one who says, now that I'm a Christian, I do not sin anymore. This is the person who understands better than the first that there is sin, even that they might sin, but there is grace after all. I repented when I first believed. Christ promised to cover all of my sins, so that part of my chapter is done. I'm a new man in Christ. I don't sin anymore. I'm in Christ. I was dead in sin. Now I'm alive. This is a presumption upon the grace of God. It is helpful to remember that John's writing to Christians here. He wants them to be careful to not distort God's promise of grace to mean that sin's not going to be an ongoing issue for them. He's not telling these people, look, if sin's present anywhere, you're a liar if you say you love God. You're in darkness. He's not saying sin won't exist. But he speaks to the error and temptation in saying we have no sin, to think only of grace and not of the ever-present need to mortify. You know what that means? To put to death the sin in our flesh. I'm under grace. What does sin matter to me? That's what Paul brings up at Romans 6. He says, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? How can we who have died to sin still live in it? The great danger of this error is that we stop seeing our need of a Savior. We become far too comfortable with sin patterns because grace is greater than our sin. Rather, let's just say, I don't have sin anymore. It's been covered. Look, I've dealt with this. I've dealt with this within my own extended family. Why do you Presbyterians constantly confess your sins? Christ has paid for your sins. It's over. You're a new man. Quit talking about it. Quit living in that kind of misery. It's so dangerous. Do you not see the danger of the dark? What lurks there in your own heart? John says, we deceive ourselves in this lie, and we do not practice the truth. What is practicing the truth? He'll tell us later, but I'll tell you now. Practicing the truth is the exercise of repentance. finally, the third error and the most egregious is verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. This last error seeks to supplant God as light and revelation of righteousness with our own ideas. It says instead, we'll be the light that determines what is right and wrong. I will decide what is sin and not sin. It is the old lie of the garden. Did God actually say? We do this when we try to parse out sin. Don't you feel your heart wanting to do that sometimes? What does one glance matter? If I do this alone, who is it really hurting? God keeps something from me that makes me feel good. No, I won't call that sin because it makes me so happy. The result of this is that God must be lying to me. I can be a light unto myself. All this means we have looked at God and what He has said and revealed about Himself in His Word and said, my heart will be the guide. And the world, brothers and sisters, is busy in this regard. Busy as they redefine all the time what is bad and call it good. The world reshapes even our language to speak of things that are sinful and put them in a good light. And they seek vindication of self rather than believe what God has revealed about Himself. Of course, Christians wouldn't be so bold to say God is wrong or a liar, but we find it appealing to parse out sin to the degree that we can say, I haven't sinned. This is a love for sin when we no longer are willing to call it sin because we found a righteous loophole. But God is light and He will have no part with darkness. The greatest problem with this last error is that it has no need for a gospel. And ultimately, that is what was wrecking this first century church. The error being taught was that Jesus was not the Son of God in the flesh and that His death was not necessary for the forgiveness of sins. How we think about the darkness matters. For our understanding of darkness means everything to our understanding of God as light. John doesn't mean to imply by all of this that if we sin, we don't know Christ. Instead, each error is met with truth. So we turn now, finally, right, to the assurance that we may have from God's Word. We must be honest as God is honest with us. When I was in college, during the summer, we had these track camps, and so the team would gather, and we'd have all these high school students come in, and we were playing ultimate frisbee with some of the athletes that came in, and I twisted my ankle. I dislocated it, popped out and popped back in, and I landed on the ground, and my coach yelled, McCall, are you okay? And I stood up and said, I'm fine, coach. He said, show me, prove it. And I had to run several laps around the track while he watched me to make sure I wasn't injured. And what he could not see, as I made every stride look normal, were the tears that were in my eyes. I lied. It was excruciating. And 2 weeks later, I was forced to stop running. My season was completely over, and my stride was never the same. Rather than be honest about the injury, rather than tell the truth, rather than stop immediately and the healing begin, I would have been in stride with the rest of the team if I'd just been honest. And God calls us to be honest about our sin, to fully admit that when we practice in it, we are walking in darkness and we are deceiving ourselves. This is John's rebuttal in verse 7. Rather than to profess we are in fellowship with God while dwelling at home in our sin as if it's no big deal, we are to walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The stride of the Christian life is to be in step with the God with God in the light, which in turn affects our fellowship with each other. Just as my injury and the lie, what I thought wasn't a big deal, cut me off from the fellowship with the team, so does our ignoring the real danger of sin. God's people experience together the fellowship of being under the means of grace together, encouraging each other to come to the light whenever we wander, living in grace and trusting in the gospel. We look at each other and we're in fellowship, not hiding or concealing, but acknowledging together. That's why we do it corporately in the mornings. The people who sit on your pew are the same in one regard. We are sinners in desperate need of the gospel. In this, we have fellowship with each other and fellowship under Christ, John tells us, whose blood was spilled for the purchase of such as us. The blood of Jesus puts away the darkness of sin. We don't remain in sin. We are cleansed and we are healed from it. We see it as a great injury, not a thing to be ignored. We have to be honest about it. We may do so with God and with others we are in fellowship with. John goes on to rebut the second deception of saying we have no sin now as Christians under the grace of God. He now turns, probably one of the more famous Bible passages that you hear when it comes to confessing our sins. He turns us to the brutal honesty we get to have. I say we get to have about our sin. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What wonderful assurance. What does John have to say to us? We don't have to hide it away in some dark corner of our hearts so no one can see it. We don't have to conceal it away. We don't have to walk in the shame of it. We don't have to pretend it's gone and just get on with our lives. What he tells us is there's somewhere you can lay it down. You know, we don't have to come to God and say, look, if I tell you something, do you promise you're not going to be angry with me? How many of our children have said that to us? God says, come and tell me absolutely everything. By the way, I already know it. And us that live 2,000 years after the cross, Christ already knows it. You can't conceal anything from Him. Why would we hide it as if the darkness can resist the light? How can we come to God who is not part, has no part with darkness? We get honest about the darkness and look to Christ who ushers us into God's presence in the light. How will He treat the sinner? God honestly tells us no tricks, no gimmicks, no gotcha moments. Confess it all to me, hold nothing back, and be specific. Not like when you're trying to get your two children who are fighting to say, I'm sorry. They go, I'm sorry. No, tell them, why are you sorry? Speak to God and be specific. And you will find, without qualification, if we confess, then He will faithfully and justly declare all of our sins annihilated at the cross of Jesus Christ. What does He do? We become as pure as Christ wrapped in His righteous robes. That's how you get to stand in the light. God is light. If you're repenting of your sin, you are forgiven and may know with full authority from He who is pure and true that you are forgiven in Christ Jesus. You see, He isn't a liar. And we can never make Him a liar. That is darkness. But we can call Him a liar if we say we haven't sinned. That last verse. But if His Word is in us, we have a clear guide to hate what He hates and to call good what He calls good. Yes, John says to the dear church that he loves so much, you will sin. In fact, that's how he's going to begin the next chapter. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin. He says to his dear church, God knows this about you. But darkness is not the answer, nor does it hold those who are the children of light. Come to God who is light. Believe the gospel. Repent always. Always ongoing and ongoing and ongoing until Christ returns or you go to be with Him. This is the thing the Christian must be doing day in and day out, constantly coming, and he's never worn out by it. His mercy flows and His grace is greater than all of our sin. Believe the gospel, repent always, and by this we may know His word is in us and we are in Him. This is walking in the light. This is the Christian life. Let's pray.